The Anton Savage Show on News Talk.
Tonight, the clocks go forward 1 hour, which means, if I have this right, you would think after all this time I'd be able to handle this, but I'm never good at it. It means that it is now 9:46. If this were to be tomorrow, now would be 10:46. I think I have that right. The net end result of this means we all have to get up an hour early tomorrow morning, whether we want to or not. Anne-Marie Boyan is with us. She is sleep expert at the Sleep Care Company. To get us past the shock and trauma of this, Anne-Marie, what do you recommend?
Hi, Anton. Yes, the clocks spring forward tonight. So a good way of remembering it is they spring forward in spring and they fall backwards in October. So we're going to lose 1 hour sleep. So the first thing is remember to change your clock. So our smartphones do that automatically. Most smartphones do that. However, if you have a wall clock, you change that tonight before you go to bed. And the second thing is it takes a little while to adjust. So it's going to take us about a week to adjust to losing the hour of sleep.
A week?
So there's a couple. Yeah. So, yeah, it does affect our sleep patterns. We do get more light in the evenings as a result. However, our sleep is thrown off course. So there's a couple of things you can do. Tomorrow, for example, on Sunday, go to bed a half an hour later. So if, for example, you go to bed at 10 p.m., tomorrow, go to bed at a half an hour later, 30 minutes later. And then Monday and Tuesday, keep to that time. So 10:30. And then Wednesday, return to your usual bedtime of 10 p.m.
And should you attempt to get up artificially early on any of the days or anything like that, or just return to the normal pattern, your proper wake time?
Exactly. You stick to your proper wake time. And in fact, the science shows that your wake time is actually more important for your sleep routine than your going to bedtime. So the biggest thing to do in the morning, the new thing, if you're not doing it already, is to get some sunlight, natural sunlight into your eyes first thing in the morning. So about 2 to 10 minutes of natural sunlight. If you're outside, ditch the sunglasses. Hopefully Easter Sunday, we'll have a nice day. But regardless, any day, get as much natural sunlight into your eyes as possible within 1 hour of waking. So what that does is it gets all our hormones working properly and it sets our circadian rhythm and our melatonin for the evening.
What's your policy and advice in respect of blackout blinds and curtains for a room? Because we're heading for the time now where there'll only be, 5 hours of darkness in midsummer. Should everybody be able to get a good night's sleep even if there is light in the room?
Yes, they should. However, it is hard, especially on children, because it is brighter in the evening. So if they're going to bed, used to going to bed in the dark, and now they're going to see that it's light in the evening. So blackout blinds, really good. Also blackout curtains. If you don't have those, for adults, I'd recommend eye masks are brilliant for blocking out the light. But light in general has a huge impact on sleep. So we need to be darkening our rooms in the evening and then in the morning getting as much light as possible.
See, the thing I don't understand of this is you see these people who during the day, they can effectively take a nap on a wire fence. And then when it comes to time to go to bed, everything has to be utterly silent, blacked out. It's like, hang on a minute. You can fall asleep through the start of Saving Private Ryan. How is it that you're unable to sleep if there is a chink of light at nighttime? Is that a trained thing or is that an inbuilt reality?
It is an inbuilt reality for some people. They can. Some people are light sleepers and some people can go to sleep like that person. I would recommend, you know, if you are doing a nap, that you don't have it for longer than 26 minutes. So NASA, the space agency, have done research to say that if you're having a power nap, don't do it for longer than 26 minutes because it's going to impact on your sleep that night. But yeah, some people can nap and then fall asleep fine, and then others are light sleepers.
Distill this down to best practice for us then. If we want to, whatever about the shift of the hour, if we want to guarantee both that we cope with that, but also that we can get the best possible night's sleep, give us your top tips.
So top tips would be, number one, a sleep schedule. So go to bed at the same time every night and get up at the same time every morning. The second one would be, as I mentioned earlier, get that morning light. So as soon as you wake up, try and get natural light into your eyes, outside light, no sunglasses. Then the next thing I suggest is to turn your phone off within 1 hour of going to sleep. So DFS, this furniture retailer, did some a survey recently showing that we're 2.5 times more likely in Ireland to look at our phones than our UK neighbours, and that 31% of Irish people admit that they're late night scrollers. So we want to, it's a huge thing that we're doing in Ireland. So we want to try and stop that, because the blue light from the phones interrupts the melatonin, which is the sleep hormone that we need for sleep. So try putting your phone away an hour before bed. If you need an alarm, use a traditional alarm clock. So they would be the main points. If you needed another one, I would steer away from caffeine after 2 p.m. in the day. So again, caffeine can interrupt our sleep for up to 41 minutes. If you have a cup of coffee at 4 o'clock in the afternoon, it's going to be swirling around still in your head at 11 o'clock at night. So my recommendation is to swap that afternoon cuppa, if you do have one, for a decaf or a herbal tea.
Does the caffeine stays in the system that long?
Yes, caffeine has a half-life of 6 to 8 hours. So it takes that amount of time to get half of it out of your body. So it's a big one. Now, in saying that, some people can have coffee after their dinner and they're fine. They have a good metabolism. There are some genes that affect how you break down coffee, and some people are fine. But the majority of us, it does affect our sleep.
The other one that you said, and the first one, was the thing of developing a sleep schedule where you go to sleep at the same time every night and you wake up at the same time every night. Does that have to be absolute, or is the Saturday sleep in and maybe the occasional Friday night permissible?
Consistency is key. So ideally, you're trying to stay as consistently as possible. I realise that sometimes we do need a sleep in, you know, on the weekends. It does throw out our circadian rhythm a bit. So try and do it as much as possible, because basically it boils down to our brain loves regularity.
And how bad a problem is insomnia for people?
Insomnia can be really bad for people. So insomnia is where you can't fall asleep or you can't stay asleep, and it's happening for more than 2 months. So it can affect their mood the next day. They're grumpy. It can affect their concentration. It can affect their relationships, their work, their performance. So it is hugely important to try and get as much sleep as possible and get that quality sleep. And obviously, if you are suffering from insomnia, then try and get some help for that.
And I assume that to some extent it can be self-fulfilling, that if you are going to bed every night concerned that you're not going to fall asleep, it makes it much less likely that you then fall asleep.
Exactly. And there is, you know, sleep anxiety around that. Things like looking at your phone or your clock, it can make people more anxious, thinking that they're not going to, they have to get up in a few hours. So there's lots of contributors to it. I would recommend, again, putting away the phones and all of that, but also trying to find something that calms you before bed.
The Anton Savage Show on News Talk.